from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon on Sacramento Sports Leader. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. We're hanging out with you right up until noon when D'Lo and KC take over. Then we will hand it off to them, and then we'll take you to 4 o'clock.
There it is.
On this Monday, August 19th. Can't wait to not take that. We're going to try and get in that group photo tomorrow, and we're not going to be in it.
Oh, no.
I'm so convinced.
Never going to happen.
I'm actually going to tell Kim today. I'm going to be like, hey, we really want to be in this photo. It means a lot to us to be part of the camaraderie here at the station.
That's right.
So this is the time we break. Can you just make sure? Because here's what happens every time. We might be at a break and we might go out there and be ready for a photo, but then they got to get people over here. You know, this person's on this call and this person's in the bathroom. Oh, and this person's out to lunch. And then, oh, lo and behold, the picture ends up getting taken 12 minutes later when we're both on the air. So I'm going to make it a huge deal.
I think you should.
I'd be like, look, it can't be National Radio Day without we need to be in that photo. So can you please make sure everybody's ready at 11:28? Start gathering people like 11:25.
There it is.
11:28, James and Kyle bust out of the studio.
Jump in for a picture.
We get a quick photo.
Yep.
And then we're back in.
We have big news while you're gone. So we have the Fortress of Snackitude, which is a well-known thing. The
Big
Fortress
time.
Of Snackitude.
Yep.
They have decided to remove the vending machines.
Oh, I saw that.
They have decided to remove the vending machines here.
Yeah, that's great.
And then we're going to have like a snack cabinet, which is basically a giant version of the Fortress of Snackitude.
Wow.
And so we won.
You did.
We took down the vending machine.
You took down big vending machine. You know what? You did that.
It's happened.
Well, look, I don't mind. I don't mind a vending machine.
Yeah.
Like I really don't. But someone I know has a vending machine at their job and everything's a dollar.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, everything's just a dollar. Here it's like the prices were going up.
It was everything.
I shouldn't
was
have to deal with inflation at the vending machine.
$2 or more.
It's insane.
Like we do like the breakfast little.
Yeah, the fig bars. They're like adult Fig Newtons.
Yes, they are. And if for like 40 of them, it's $18 at the Costco.
Yeah.
So why buy them? And we have them in the Fortress of Snackitude.
I have one almost every day.
Yeah, like between that and like we have all kinds of stuff in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's $2 for that.
Insane.
It's $2. Like, why are we paying? Like, I can see $1.25 you're going to upsell the Costco price.
Yes.
But they're not even paying the Costco price for those things. They're paying like 35 cents a piece. And they're charging us $2. Like, so we won. They're going to put in an official snack area that is going to be bought and paid for by Odyssey as opposed to James.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Take that off your plate.
I know.
I wouldn't mind if I'll chip in. But if we had just like separate snacks just for us.
Oh, we can do that.
Like just separate little like special snacks.
Keep being like elitists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
we can just be the snack rebels.
Yeah, your snacks are good, but our snacks.
We'll scope out whatever the snack situation is, the snackuation over there. I did not submit. I saw the email. I did not. I was not in a great state of mind.
Oh, yeah.
When I got the email. Follow me.
Okay.
And so I just didn't, it didn't register as a thing. But I saw the thing to send in recommendations or suggestions.
Yes.
I'm going to not send in suggestions.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep that just for us.
Okay.
So we can survey the situation and then say, how can we have a little better Fortress of Snacktitude over yonder?
We should first let them establish like some of our basics so we don't have to continue buy the basics.
Yeah. Okay. So
and then we'll have elite. We'll have elite snacks.
We'll get the full-size candy bars.
Yes. Full-size candy bars, or we'll have like... like a Ferrero Rocher like dispenser, so we'll have like the little gold foil. Like you see that? We're just.
I was
better.
Thinking like Cheez-Its.
No.
And you're going Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, we'll just like God. We'll have even better.
We live such
snacks.
Different lives.
We'll
it's
have
so
even more extensive snacks that you can't touch, and we will have some of your snacks, but our snacks will be better.
I love infiltrating the snack suggestion box with what we have now, so they pay for those.
Yes.
So we only have to pay for the good stuff.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Kim, can
that's
I?
That's like Moneyball.
Yeah,
I getting told someone else to pay for us. To that, use the snacks.
That's right. I was like, hey, can I just bring you over like some of the snacks out of the locker? So because she's going to go and do like a Costco purchase.
Oh, they're not going through third party?
No, they're going straight. So I was like, hey.
I would like to go on this Costco run with her.
Why don't I just show you what it is that
yeah.
Well, no, she can't go on a run because it becomes like what Costco accepts in store as far as Visa, MasterCard versus what corporate cards are and what you can do online. So,
oh, so it's like a...
So they have to do an order.
I see.
An online delivery order,
okay.
which is totally fine. But yeah.
I was going to make content out of Kim at Costco.
Oh, yeah. That would have really been spectacular.
Excited. It's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to have new snacks. And then we'll just like... We'll keep improving the Fortress of Snackitude. They will not be able to keep up with us, Kyle.
Send us in the YouTube chat right now, youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Funny story about that in a second. Send us your snack suggestions. What should we be suggesting to Kim?
Oh, yeah.
To order? But also, what should James and I have just in the ESPN1320 snack locker?
I feel like we should have Capri Suns and just be like sitting here like...
I'm not drinking a Capri Sun. I'm not
Come
that.
On.
Dude, that thing would give me such bad heartburn.
Yeah, probably.
Not drinking a Capri Sun.
Yeah, we have all kinds of... So we have a version of the Kind Bar in this Snackitude. We usually have... what's the popcorn?
Skinny Pop. I love a Skinny Pop.
Skinny Pop.
Big Skinny Pop guy.
We did bring in the Skippy peanut butter with chocolate wafer bars, which were... so good. They have disappeared and we've never,
like,
I have not been over there again. And then what are the little Bobos, right?
Yeah, those are good. The peanut butter and jelly like pastries.
Yep. We did the Maui branded kettle chips.
Maui is the best kettle chip, right? The kettle chip company is also very good. They have a lot of really
yes.
fun flavors.
Yeah.
But I think Maui, from just a texture standpoint, I think does the best ones.
Maybe, but I like the air popped kettle ones.
So
I like the jalapeno ones.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just me. Very so. Good.
Greg said this is definitely a mid-August segment. It's like, yeah, man, it is.
Zabo saying raisins, lots of raisins. No one is having a box of raisins.
It's ridiculous.
No, but if I was just to stroll around here like with a Capri Sun, just like eat.
Where'd
pouch.
You get the Capri Sun?
That's right. Where'd you get the Capri Sun? Or we could do Sunny Delights.
Oof.
Just saying.
It's just a heartburn thing about it.
All right. We do have a 49ers game to talk about, don't we?
Do we, though?
Do we?
I would like to punt preseason games to Narnia, dude.
You know, I would say yes, but the one... Like, I don't have a concern.
Here's why.
Okay.
One of the standouts to me for the 49ers in their first two preseason games, mm-hmm. one of the guys who's just kind of jumped off the screen has been Alex Barrett, the defensive lineman. They had five pressures in their first preseason game. He had two of them.
Oh.
He had the strip sack and fumble recovery last night. Had another tackle for loss last night. He is not going to make the team.
You still feel that way? No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's why it's... Josh Dobbs, for example, we'll talk about him in a second.
Yep.
I think his performance in last night's game matters.
Oh, I think so too.
But so much of what these guys do in practice and in meeting rooms gauges where they're going to play or how much they're going to play or whether they make the team. So much more than preseason games where Kyle Shanahan's not even calling plays. He's like joking with refs on the sideline.
Yeah.
I just clearly... hanging out. He got a penalty in the first preseason game because he was on the field watching tape. Like, that's how much he cares about all this.
Yeah, but I still think, I think the problem that you have is that when you have a player like this who goes out and finds success,
mm-hmm.
is you want to look at it with the right frame of mind because he's going up against inferior offensive linemen. He's not going up against the cream of the crop on most of his possessions. And so while you want to give him...
Talking about Alex Barrett.
Yeah, you want to give him major props for like what he's doing what he's doing against the level of competition that he's facing,
mm-hmm.
which is not, you know, the same that he will be facing sure. if he were to make a regular roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, again, like watching Josh Dobbs, like I think Josh Dobbs took a major step forward.
Definitely.
Because he once again showed you that he's like a little bit like Gardner Minshew. He's a dude who just goes out there and does whatever it takes to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a motor that he has. He can make a lot of the throws, not all the throws. He's not he's not perfect as far as like his completion percentage is never going to be outlandish. But what I love is the late play where he scores a touchdown with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, look, I don't know that Brandon Allen can do that. Maybe he can do that.
Nah,
I don't think, yeah,
I don't think he can.
He can throw a dart, but I don't think he can make that play. And I think that's something where Josh Dobbs starts to show you that like he's got some Brock Purdy skill, but he's not as good, but he still can give you something different. And so I like him. I think...
I do
He jumped back up to quarterback number two for me.
Yeah, I think if I...
No?
This is... okay, here's where... I don't disagree with you. I think that Josh Dobbs, for the most part... The thing that matters for me is how much better he's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Even from... I went to a practice a few weeks ago. And even from that practice until last night,
yeah.
You can see that he's just more comfortable from week one of the preseason to week two. He looks more comfortable. He's more decisive. When he's scrambling around, he had the one third down where he took off for the first down. But when he's scrambling around, he's keeping his eyes up the field. He's looking to continue to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
He's arguably the smartest quarterback in the league. And so he's going to find those plays when he does get outside the pocket. And he does start trying to create. Because he knows where guys are supposed to be and or where they're going to be. I think there is an element of unknown with him that is going to keep Brandon Allen in the QB2 spot for Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
Where Kyle Shanahan knows Brandon Allen is going to execute this play in this spot, and if we're down to our backup quarterback, I need to just survive the game. But on the other hand, if he's asking me, I'm leaning toward what you just said.
Yeah, I want the guy that can go win it. I want, again, the Gardner Minshew type. I want a guy who's going to be gritty, who's going to do, on occasion, it'll cost you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also going to be a game or two where he just flat out wins a game for you
mm-hmm.
when you might have no business winning a game without your starting quarterback.
Sure.
Like, I don't want him as my starter, but as a guy that you could... you know, sort of cultivate as a reserve. See, Brandon mm-hmm. Allen feels like career backup guy.
No, definitely.
You know, who was the backup quarterback behind Mahomes and behind Aaron Alex Smith?
Blaine Gabbert?
No.
Matt Cassel?
Before that. There was a dude who was there for like 16 years in the league.
Chad Henne?
Yes. And you forgot Chad Henne was in the league for 15 of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's like after he got done being
a moment with the Jags, starter, right?
Yeah. You're like, what happened to him? He just disappeared. No, he is sitting on a bench for 10 mm-hmm. years where no one knew, you know, he threw like 3 passes a year. That's where Brandon Allen kind of fits that, where you're like, okay, like, look, if you need a second, third quarterback who's just not going to go out there and make mistakes, but who probably mm-hmm. can't win a game for you on his own, then that's okay.
This is something friend of the program, Chris Biederman, brought up on Candlestick Chronicles, 49ers podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. He brought up the idea that maybe Josh Dobbs is the backup if Purdy gets hurt in a game, where there's that just kind of wild card element.
Okay.
Where a defense can't prepare for it. But then if Purdy ends up missing more than just that game, then Brandon Allen would be the guy that they kind of lean on to keep the ship steady until Purdy gets back. I think there might be something to that. I just think when I look at one of the things I dislike the most about Kyle Shanahan, and I am of the belief that Kyle Shanahan's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
One of the criticisms I have of him is his reliance on that. Is his reliance on, hey, I know what I'm going to get out of this player. There's no, he might lose us the game. It's just like,
it's a floor ceiling conversation.
Exactly.
He looks for the guy with the lowest floor. He doesn't look with the highest floor. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, not the highest ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I mean, if you're going to be a team that's,
I see the logic,
that's way up here, that has like all kinds of, like, that's really, really good, that's going to fight for Super mm-hmm. Bowl contention, then I get that you need to have a couple of like crazy high ceiling guys. But those high ceiling guys are going to be guys that you also know that while they're high, they have a high ceiling, their floor isn't really that low either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be like the 10% guys, the guys who are like really, really good. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of the guys, I think you do want just solid. Maybe I'm wrong. And I would even say, like, with the Brandon Allen thing versus mm-hmm. Josh Dobbs, I think that if it would always be situational for me, if you had a lead against a quality team, but you're up 2 touchdowns and something happens to Brock Purdy, I probably want Brandon Allen in there. Mm-hmm. Go out there, don't make a mistake, just play
mm-hmm.
the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, number one, had to start a game, or mm-hmm. if I, number two, was in a crazy back
you're
and forth.
You're down 10.
Yeah, or I'm down 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go give me someone who has the potential to win it. And I know the way the NFL structures are quarterbacks, you can't do it that way.
Right.
Right? So this is like, do I want a setup man coming out and pitching the eighth, or do I need to go for the win and I'm going to have my star young closer go give me 6 outs?
Yeah.
And so I think my idea of these two quarterbacks would be absolutely the opposite of what Biederman's were. And shout out to Chris Biederman, who came in on Wednesday and helped out last week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris. Didn't help out on the podcast last night, but that's fine. I'm joking. I'm messing with him. I'm with you, man. When it came to the backup quarterback spot,
mm-hmm.
I understand the logic of looking for floor, where you're just trying to, okay, we have this awesome defense, we have this awesome group of playmakers, we just want the guy out there who's going to make minimal mistakes, who's going to get the ball to those playmakers, and we can lean on the defense.
Yep.
And I can understand that being Kyle Shanahan's thinking. I just don't, I don't think in this specific instance, I don't think that the delta between Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen's floors is so vast that I'd be willing to pass up Josh Dobbs' ceiling.
Mm. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Like, you know, like, I don't think that Brandon Allen would give you so much, such a higher floor that you would pass up having Dobbs, who, okay, is he going to be a little bit inaccurate? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But man, that deep ball to Jacob Cowing last night was in the bucket. That was a great throw.
Mm-hmm.
The one to Danny Gray down the sideline, underthrew it a little bit, but you saw him making plays with his legs. I think in a regular season situation, I think some of the plays that he's extended with his legs, I think you may see him check it down, or you may see him get rid of the ball and just throw it out of bounds and live to fight another down. But he's out there trying to win a backup job right now, so he's out there trying to make as many plays as he can.
Mm.
I think he is a smart enough player that if Kyle Shanahan said, hey, you're going to be the backup, here's these four plays from the preseason where you ran around too much. I want to see you get it to this check down, or I want to see you throw this ball away. I think you would see that adjustment from Dobbs, especially, like I said, especially considering how much better he's gotten in this offense from even 3 weeks ago to now.
Oh, yeah.
So I went into last night thinking that Brandon Allen was QB2. I think if I'm betting on it, I think I would still bet on Brandon Allen, just knowing how Kyle Shanahan's mind works.
Mm-hmm.
But after last night, I feel way less confident in saying Brandon Allen is going to be the backup quarterback. Because if they go into this third preseason game, their dress rehearsal, so you're going to see more starters than you've seen in the first two games.
Yep.
But if you go out and if Josh Dobbs outplayed Brandon Allen last night, which makes sense, I think. Brandon Allen played with third team guys, lesser supporting cast.
He played
cast.
The third quarter.
Yeah, and I think that was the problem for Josh Dobbs in the first preseason game. Like, supporting cast didn't help him out.
Yeah.
Whereas Brandon Allen's kind of did. And I think you saw the reversal of that last night. I think if they go out in the third preseason game, Josh Dobbs is just a better player in a live game situation. I have a really hard time going, yeah, but Brandon Allen's floor. Like, man,
I'm with you. And I want to, like, look, we came into this. I really liked Ronnie Bell coming into this offseason.
Yeah.
I did. I liked what Ronnie Bell brought last year. If Ronnie Bell isn't on the same page as Brandon Allen, and he's not on the same page as Josh Dobbs, who exactly did he work out with during the offseason? Because the dude was out there running the wrong routes almost every single possession.
Seven targets, two catches.
Well, but not only that, but he almost cost interceptions because he literally just ran the wrong route. You're like, what are you, who were you working with? Is there, were you out there working with Mordecai somewhere, like making sure you got, and that's the guy you were hoping to have throw some balls to you? Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's like hanging out with Brock Purdy every day catching passes and he feels uncomfortable unless Brock Purdy's throwing the ball.
No.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't think he's that good.
No, it's possible. Like, but those were mental lapses. Like, you could tell there were multiple possessions where he either ran the wrong route or just, like, wasn't deep enough on the route. Whatever it was, he did something wrong on the route. And you're like, okay, man, everyone in the building knew that that was going to be an out. Mm-hmm. You're up against the clock, and you tried to run a streak into, like, into coverage. Like,
yeah.
Why were you not peeling that off where the ball went?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. And so I feel bad for some of the guys who clearly aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not. And then, you know, you might need him with special teams, but then you had someone else step up on special teams.
Chris, look, this is I'm going deep in the Niners roster. Sorry, everybody. Chris Conley's just a better player than Ronnie Bell.
Oh, no, he is.
Like, flat out. I know Chris Conley didn't ever become the player that people thought he would be at his size and his athleticism. I know he fell short of whatever goals the Chiefs had for him way back when. Totally. But that dude was one of the 49ers' three best players in the Super Bowl on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly on special teams. He had a huge catch. Was it the Green Bay game or the NFC title game? He had a huge catch. Like, he's in the right spots.
Yeah, it's and either that or the
if
Super
you're going to have a fifth or sixth wide receiver who's going to play a lot of special teams, if that player is going to be on the field, then you need him to be in the right spot. And you need to know that they're going to catch the football.
Yes.
And it's just not Ronnie Bell. The fact that he couldn't crack the rotation last year at all put him behind the eight ball, I thought, this year going into camp. He had a couple of good days at camp, but that is just not translated into these game situations.
At all. And then I would add that, you know, everyone gave Gray props for catching a ball that he should have caught on the first.
Bro.
Like,
that should have been intercepted.
Yeah, like,
Danny Gray.
He hasn't been great. And then you have the other young kid who I think has been good, Jacob Cowling. Cowling. I think he's been very good.
The most impressive thing about Jacob Cowling last night, the fourth round pick from the University of Arizona, the most impressive thing about him last night was that he hasn't gotten a ton of practice. He's been dealing with that hamstring injury.
Mm.
So he gets into practice this week mainly, and they just fed the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to get him reps, And then last night you saw the jet sweep that went for 19 yards. You saw him run that go route that he caught for 38 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him work in the screen game where he caught that one screen on one side and then had to reverse field entirely. Got the good block from Josh Dobbs. Like, all the things that you saw on tape at Arizona that you went, hey, if he translates to the NFL, this is kind of what it would look like.
Yep.
That's what it looked like last night. So, again, he's not playing against top flight competition. Ronnie Bell had a good preseason last year, and we saw how that worked out. So I'm not ready to say that Jacob Cowing is the second coming or anything, but if you were looking for him to point his arrow upwards, last night did it. I was super impressed.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And yes. He did that without a ton of practice,
yeah,
which is more impressive.
With whoever's throwing the ball. Like, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go out there and play.
I need to address something.
Okay.
Eaton85 said, dude is in the NFL, and Kyle said he isn't good. He's not in the NFL. Ronnie Bell is one of the best football players on the planet.
Yep.
When juxtaposed against the 7 billion person population. Ronnie Bell, in the scope of the 49ers receiving core, is probably not good enough to make the team.
Nope. Which is too bad.
I didn't know that we still needed those caveats, but...
Yeah.
Understand that if I say a player isn't good, I mean in the context of being a contributor in that particular sport.
Yeah. Unless we're talking about the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
He stinks.
He's just not good at anything. Sorry.
No, I'm not going to go, wow, yeah. Ronnie Bell's awesome at football. All the players are good. Like, they're on NFL teams right now.
Yep.
They're at least a little bit good at tackle football.
Yep.
That's understood.
And a lot better than the rest of the population at the sport.
Absolutely. Yep. He was good enough to be drafted. Like, that's an accomplishment.
Yep.
And maybe he catches on with that. Maybe the Niners keep him. Maybe they like him so much on special teams.
Yeah.
But when I start going through the numbers and you start figuring, okay, I'm assuming Brandon Ayuk's back and it's Deebo Samuel and we got to go to break and it's Ricky Pearsall and it's Jacob Cowing and it's Juwan Jennings, that's five. I think they keep Chris Conley over Ronnie Bell. That's all. That's all I'm getting at. We got to go to break. We'll keep talking preseason. A couple of non-Niners or Raiders preseason notes I want to get to. That's James and Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Look, man, I've watched a lot of Chopped in my day. And I just think that if you leave out a basket ingredient, you shouldn't get to move on, no matter how good your meal is.
I totally agree.
That's
I
it.
I mean, I understand the premise of the show. I watch enough of these mm-hmm. types of shows. So yeah, I'm with you. If there's something that has to be in there, That throws things all crazy.
Right.
Some flavor that you've got to make up for.
Right.
No.
I saw somebody somebody responded to me on the internet and said, well, there's no real life situation where you would have to cook with those ingredients, so I don't mind that people leave some of my. It's like, but that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the point of the cooking competition. That's what makes this cooking competition different, is that you have to use these insane ingredients. You have to figure out a way to put taco seasoning in your dessert. Like, that's part of the bag. And when you don't, you shouldn't get to move on. That's all.
No, I'm with you, especially if it's something that big. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like when you have an NFL quarterback that can get you all the way through the regular season and has a whole bunch of yards and a whole bunch of touchdowns
mm-hmm.
and then can't win a playoff game. It's like, all right, that's kind of the job, right? You want the $60 million a year. I'm not naming names.
You know what's wild? Is winning in the NFL is so hard that there's like 50 quarterbacks I could name that you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Not 50. That's too many. But I know you're talking about Dak Prescott. But you could be talking about Kirk Cousins. You'd be talking about Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, no. They
haven't gotten there yet.
They fit. They, yeah. Fill up the stat sheet, but can't do it when it matters.
Yep. Josh Allen hasn't been to a Super Bowl yet.
And that's why you just always look at Brock Purdy and be like,
all Lamar right, Jackson?
All right, like, I'm confused. Why are you guys not figuring out that he just keeps winning? And you're like, oh, his team is so good. It's like, yeah, but there are a lot of players out there who have great teams that just don't make it to the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship game or win a playoff game.
Is part of the reason the guys are so good is because the quarterback's good.
Well, that and, like, Kyle, watching Brock Purdy, because we just kind of glossed over this, I know it's his first preseason game, but my goodness, he did not look good
at
all.
He looked terrible. Oh,
what
my God.
Was that throw? Like,
so,
oh, my gosh.
Going back across the field.
Oh, my gosh. Like, dude. I was screaming at the TV, like, what in, like, no, bro.
So he already does that all the time, right? The roll left, throw back to the middle of the field. Dangerous ass throw, but he always gets away with it.
Yeah, he does.
And part of me believes that one of his big things is processing. Like, he's literally gone to like quarterback like schools where they can track, they do these different tests.
Uh-huh.
And his processing is like 99th percentile with the way he can like see a picture and then the picture changes, but he can tell you what the picture used to look like and what it's crazy. So I think that's part of what makes him successful is because on those throws, he is able to find like an open receiver and make that throw. That one last night where he tried to throw it all the way back across the field. Like, dude, you do not have the facilities for that.
Well, not only that, but you're going to get your receiver hurt. I don't think, like, even the way he set up, it wasn't like he rolled one way and flung a ball across. But he, like, just, it was a bad throw.
It was
like, straight up, you're going to get somebody hurt.
Bad throw, bad decision.
Yeah, it was like all of it. Like, I'm okay a lot of times when I see him throw back across because it's usually what he did in that situation where he gets all the way out to the side and then he's not flinging it back. He's not trying to do like some sort of Mahomes fire it sidearm. He does turn his body and he situates himself. So it's almost like he's throwing a ball straight. He's just got a longer, you know, place he's throwing to. But that was just like every single thing about that one was like, oh, man, you fluffed it.
It was a mess.
You put it high, like someone's going to get hurt.
He shouldn't have played.
No.
I know Kyle Shanahan said they asked him if he wanted to play, and Purdy was like, yeah, I want to get in there. I want to take a couple hits and da-da-da-da. But behind whatever version of that offensive line that was, That wasn't good.
No.
That was tough. Patrick Mahomes threw a behind the back pass this weekend in the NFL in the preseason.
Okay, so like we were watching it and my wife was like, now he's just like getting, he's just getting fancy. And I was like, okay, he is, but that was actually the best play. Like the fact that he was able to complete it as opposed to trying to throw overhand and go up and around the guy and all that stuff. Like I know, like I've talked to Doug about this when like Pete Carril just used to tell them like, please practice your behind the back passes. And they're like, why? It's like, because in certain situations, it's the best pass. Because when you go behind your back and you got a player on the front, they can't get to it. And so your body's acting as a shield. So learn that. So I was okay with it. I mean, I thought it was like absolutely crazy bonkers play, but that's why you have to love him. Like that's why, I mean, you can hate him if you're playing, if your team's playing against him, but it's also why you should enjoy watching Steph Curry play basketball. Because some guys are just so, they transcend whatever fandom you have to like, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Here's my question. Does he ever do it in a regular season game?
Sure he does, because he does everything else in a regular season game.
I don't know.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
That
he's thrown underhand. He's thrown
But that's so different.
Way. Yeah.
That's so different than throwing it behind your back on a play where, let's assume, let's take everything he and Travis Kelce said at face value, and that wasn't planned. It was. We're going to take everything at face value. And he rolled out, and Travis Kelce went the wrong way. It's like, that's a throwaway.
Yeah.
But dude, in the off chance that you misfire that and you now throw it to a defensive lineman or a linebacker who's in the area, six.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's just no, I don't think he would do it in a game. Unless they were up a million or I don't think that you're ever going to see anything.
Yeah,
in a regular season game.
There's some people who are in here saying you can, like there are other quarterbacks that can do that. There's no one else that can do that. The stuff he does,
I disagree. I think other quarterbacks can't throwing a. I can throw a ball behind my back right now.
Well, no, I get that, but
I'm
like,
just as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Like in the moment, Kyle.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's anyone else who tries stuff like that. There's like some of the passes that he does, like the like, I don't know, the sidearm flicks up the middle that he does, all that stuff. I don't think that there's a lot of people that can actually do what he does, like in the moment, in an actual functional game, and have it be completed. And like, sure, like I can throw a football underhand 40 plus yards. Okay, fine. But in a football game where a 300 pound dude running at me and I can't throw it overhand because I know he's going to put me in the dirt and I'm going to land on my shoulder. And if I were to sling it underhand, I might be able to complete it for whatever. Mahomes is the guy. He's the guy that like just plays street ball out there. So,
yeah, he's incredible. I just don't think we're ever going to see it in a regular season game. We might see it again in the preseason. And they put it on tape now.
He's fun.
Like teams got to deal with that. You do. You have to now. You now have to consider when Patrick Mahomes is rolling out to his right. Hey, whoever's over yonder, who seems to be out of the play, is in play.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to think about it now.
No, it's just wild, man. He is ridiculous.
I honestly, here's the take. I think the left-handed pass that he completed, was it to Jerick McKinnon? I think that was more impressive.
Oh, I missed that one.
It was his second year?
Oh, got it. No.
Third year, maybe?
I think third year. Yeah, McKinnon was in.
Yeah, he was rolling to his, and
he was
just
on the Niners
left,
IR.
And he just, he left hand and just, it was. That was more impressive than the behind the back. A couple other things. The Packers scored 2 points last night against the Broncos.
Oof.
And I saw my guy from PackersWire.com, Zach Cruz, saying, hey, everybody relax. 31 guys who are going to be on the 53-man roster aren't playing and this and that. I would rather score 0 points than two. I'm dead serious. I know that sounds ridiculous. And if you can tell me I can win 2-0 or lose 2-0, I'd rather win 2-0, you know? But 27-2 looks so much worse than 27-0. I can't tell you why.
Okay.
That's just all vibes. The other thing, so I was sitting there bored on Saturday, and I went, hey, I don't really want, I'm going to, there's preseason football on. I'm going to throw on some football. I turned on Bills Steelers. It was right after there was a delay due to weather. I had to turn it off. It was so boring.
Oh, yeah. That if you're Brandon Ayuk and you're looking at the potential to go play.
That's
for,
it.
Thank you. No. Thank you.
That's
no.
A hard pass.
What did they, what was the stat? Russell Wilson was 4-4 for 16 yards.
And I think he had -5 net yards because of sacks.
That's just, who wants to watch that? Who wants to play in that system?
Yeah, if I'm the Niners, I walk in with that tape. That offensive cut up from the Steelers-Bills preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking into whatever negotiation that they're going to have over the next day or two. And I'm walking in and I'm going, here, we'll trade you here if you want, or here's our contract offer. That's just it. Kenny Caraway in the building. Guys.
Kyle Madsen back in the building.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hanging out. Good, I'm excited to come back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I don't know. That didn't look great on what they play on Saturday.
Yeah.
For the Steelers quarterback situation.
It was rough.
I don't know. I don't know what Brandon is doing. I don't know what the Niners are doing.
I'm at the point now. I think this is Brandon Ayuk's fault. I think Brandon Ayuk is being a jerk now.
Oh.
Yeah, I've flipped.
Hmm.
Like, get your bag. You know I'm very pro that.
Yep.
But I think this would be done by now if Brandon Ayuk would.
Do you believe the reports that say the Niners have upped their offer?
Yeah, for sure.
From what they've tried to
do. For sure. They messed up. That's where the Niners messed up, because they always knew that, okay, we'll come up from this number a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come up from the. They should have done that weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, they're both sides are at fault here. I just believe now that Brandon Ayuk is a little more at fault than I thought he was last week.
I hear you. I want to get both of you guys' take on this. I'm going to, you probably shouldn't in this situation because it's a mess, but just for argument's sake, I'm going to assume that the Ayuk deal gets done. He's part of the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about this more on the show, but I want to get your opinion. I think that wide receiver room is looking kind of crazy in a great way. Like, when you talk about Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel,
mm-hmm.
Juwan Jennings,
mm-hmm.
I really like Cowing. I think Purcell is going to be good. I was watching some Florida games over the weekend. It just happened to be on. Purcell can go. He can go. And I don't know how many snaps those guys are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But wide receiver, I mean, name a better one. Give me anybody in the chatty house and all this other. If that's the wide receiver room, give me five teams with a better wide receiver room.
Here's the Eagles.
That's one.
Probably Miami.
That's two.
Okay. But Ayuk's got to be in the room.
Yeah, Ayuk's got to be in the room.
If you add tight end.
Chicago might?
I don't know. If you add tight end.
If we're going to say that Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing are going to be that good, then we have to say Roma Dunze is going to be that good.
Oh, yeah. But I would say if you add the tight end position,
that's
there might not be a more talented group.
Oh, that's easy. That's you're talking best offensive player, offensive playmaker, then yeah, sure. Yeah,
you got Kittle in there,
1,000%,
too.
But you can't. But no, he's a tight end.
Yeah.
If you're going to posit wide receiver room, then we got to keep it to that position.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine, too. I just still don't think there's five better than that.
Yeah. I think that's just I'm not there with Pearsall. Like, bro, got to get on the field first.
True.
He
got to get on the field. But is it true he's never missed a game in college?
So apparently.
College is different than the NFL, but it's not like he was made of glass before this.
Yeah, I'm really skeptical on Pearsall still. Mm. And Cowing was nice last night for sure. But is he going to be more than Ray McLeod?
Yes.
In terms of
it's funny
production.
You say that. He looks like a better Ray McLeod.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of right there.
And I'm not
in
saying
Ray
McLeod
role.
Was, you know, Darren Sproles or something like that. But, yeah, he looks like a better version of Ray McLeod. Ray McLeod wasn't really a receiver.
Yeah.
Cowing looked like a receiver, and he could take some handoffs, some end-arounds, things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm at least intrigued by him.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking, like, I think Ronnie Bell has just, like, played himself right out of a job, unfortunately.
Damn, go blue.
I mean, I really liked Ronnie Bell coming in and, like, man, he's just not on the same page with any quarterback.
There's just not enough room for because what did I name? I named five wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they usually keep six max.
Yeah, no, I think Chris Conley's the sixth.
Yeah.
Trent's
This is where I'm out on Trent.
He's too small.
Him getting muscled off that route where Purdy like way overthrew it because the corner just didn't let it. That was tough.
How about the missing drop
in the end zone? That's bad. Yeah, you can't have that. I just don't. I'm going to be totally honest here. I don't know enough full wide receiver depth charts around the league to have.
That's fair. I don't either. I tried to think of them on top of my head, but I usually came to those three: the Eagles,
Texans.
Dolphins.
Oh, Texans and the Rams.
Texans, like, nasty.
Rams, no.
Rams, no.
We got to stop playing with. So first and foremost, we got to stop playing with Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. Like, we got to stop playing. And Juwan Jennings was going to be the Super Bowl MVP if they would have won that game.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings is a third down monster. There's nobody that guards him on third down.
This is going to be here.
There's nobody that.
I just want. I'm not disagreeing with you. This just brought up a fun game I like to play because how many catches did Juwan Jennings have last year?
However many third down completions.
What do we say? 35.
I would say 32. I'll say 32.
19.
Mm.
He has 78 career catches for 963 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Damn.
Brandon Ayuk had 75 for 1,407 just last year. Like, I'm not ready to be like, Juwan Jennings, if he's wide receiver 2, they're good.
I'm saying if he's wide receiver three.
Yeah, you're
remember,
in a good spot.
I'm including Ayuk in this thing. I'm saying he's there.
This is where I struggle. I don't know who the Rams' third receiver is.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
Isn't it,
it's
his name?
It's Tutu Atwell.
Yeah, Atwell. He's good. He's good.
You don't know Tutu Atwell?
I know Tutu Atwell. I just don't know if he's good or not.
he's a good ball player. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I remember.
What's that new kid they got? Jordan Whittington, something like that. He's got
I don't know.
Rams ain't got a better receiver room than the Niners.
Rams might win.
It's good. It's not bad, but it's.
I think the Rams might win the division.
Puka is incredible.
I'm in. 49ers are winning it again. I'm in on the Rams. I think the Rams are.
49ers are winning the division again.
I've got that really difficult thing with keepers where we have Puka, but we also, which we are not keeping, but we have CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee's just like that situation. CeeDee's in. Like, oh, what do you do right there? We're keeping Mahomes because we always keep Mahomes because he helps
right.
us win.
CeeDee will be on the field at some point, so you keep him.
Yeah, but I mean, you're gonna lose the first week or two of like a big time player. He was so good last year, though.
Maybe they get it done before the season starts.
Yeah,
he's too good. I can't not have him on the squad. But I never CeeDee? Win my fantasy league, so maybe you shouldn't listen.
We'll ask Faraz Siddiqui on Friday. We're trying to get him on.
Oh, no,
have some fantasy analyst on Friday, even if Faraz can't do it.
You can have me on the show, like I said.
We'll just go opposite?
But you don't,
opposite
yeah,
day
sure.
with Kenny
Galloway?
I don't. No, you know why I lose? Because I don't draft no Cowboys. I don't draft no Seahawks. I don't draft no Eagles.
Oh.
I don't draft... any Rams. Like, I can't be sitting there thinking I want those players to do well. You know, I'll just go another route.
Here's why I'm bad at fantasy football. Every year, I draft, let's call it two players, that I just am like, I believe in this player so much, I am not letting them go. And I hang on to them for 9 weeks too many.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a player that I draft, and I'm like, yes, this is the guy. And then he lets me down the first 2 weeks. I'm like, get him. And I launch him into the sun, and then he winds up as wide receiver 2 on the season. Oh. I get so emotional. I'm the worst.
I'd be a terrible coach. We try to be stable. Even like last year, we drafted Drake London way too early over Ayuk. And I'm gonna blame my son for that one. That was him.
You gotta understand. Desmond Ridder was not that guy.
No.
Drake London this year might be good.
Well, and I'm not trashing my son is usually really good. He's the one who said, hey, we should draft this Mahomes kid a couple of years ago. And we're like, oh, okay.
Party on.
We were discussing him or Kirk Cousins at that point. And he's like, well, let's just go ahead and take a flyer. We had Stafford. He's like, we might as well just take a flyer on this Mahomes kid. I'm like, all right, it's all on you. And here we are a couple of Super Bowls later.
I was
later.
Telling, he's not Mahomes by any means, but I was telling Damien about
30
this.
Seconds.
I saw this interview with D'Amador Lenore with Richard Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see it when he was like, hey, Kirk Cousins is really, really good. Like, I thought he was going to be weak. I thought he was going to be like Washington, Kirk Cousins. He's like, he's really good. He's like, Trent Williams was trying to tell me. He's like, I'm telling you, Trent can go, or Kirk can go. He's like, man, I'm going to pick him off. He's like, nah, he's really good.
Cooked the Niners. Yeah. Laid him. What do you guys got coming up?
More of the 49ers, the Raiders' decision at quarterback. We'll talk about that. And some NBA stuff that we heard over the weekend that was interesting. Somebody getting disrespected.
Streets talk.
And I agree with him.
Mm. Oh,
I agree. He feels he's getting disrespected, and I agree with him.
Oh, I thought you were saying you agree with the disrespect.
No.
Oh. D'Lo and Casey, they're coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube's a sponsor. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.